Amen. God's still alive. How many knows that? Amen. In Him we live and we move and we have our being. I like life, don't you? John 10:10 said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." So if we want life, we got to have Him. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. No man can come to the Father but by Him, because He's the way, He's the truth. Amen. We've been preaching quite a little bit lately about what this is tonight. How many knows this is a fellowship meeting? I've been studying a lot on fellowship, and I find out that a whole lot of people don't know what it is, number one, and they don't know how to fellowship, and number two, and on and on and on. So we're going to get into this. I never get enough of the Word. I've been in the ministry 58 years, and I'm still studying, and I'm learning a whole lot yet. And I expect to learn till the day that they put me down in the ground, and then I'll be ready to rise when the Lord come. Be ye therefore ready, for you know not what hour that your Lord is coming. We're going to talk about fellowship tonight and preach about fellowship, because fellowship is very important. Most folks doesn't know what it means. It means putting together a community. You know, every community ought to have fellowship among themselves. The church, that's a fellowship. And even our home is a little fellowship. Mom and dad and the little ones. And if we can't have fellowship one with another, I'll tell you, we're going to have some trouble. How many knows that? So we got to have this fellowship. And it's the fellowship that God wants us to have. And we're going to be talking about it. Where fellowship begins at. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Word. We're to build fellowships. How many of us build anything? Paul said that he was a wise master builder, but it only came by grace. Through grace, God gave him the duty of building. And he said, but every man take care how you build upon the foundation that he has there. So I want to read from 1 John chapter 1. We'll start right there. Now everybody get your Bible. Or you don't know whether I'm preaching out of the Bible or a Sears and Roebuck catalog. Amen. I hope not. But you don't know that unless you're reading with me. Unless you're studying with me. Unless you're preaching with me. We need to have this fellowship. So let's read 1 John chapter 1, down about 7 verses, and talk about fellowship. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And those things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message, here's the message, which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, we're going to see in here, if we're listening and looking this over, where fellowship came from. It came from the Father and the Word. That was the fellowship. John was speaking for the other apostles when he said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now he's talking that Christ being with them in a fellowship one another. Now if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what do we have? Fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I want to get back to some fellowship like we used to have. Amen. I think we need to throw away some of these new Bibles and get rid of a whole bunch of the junk. This new way of worship, I don't believe it's of God. We're supposed to worship God. Now, I may kill all your spirit, but everything operates by spirit. Everything. Man, somebody said, I'm going to just feel honor this morning. Well, you got to honor spirit. Whatever that you feel, you'll have what you seek. Seek and you shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. But listen what he's saying here. He said, that which our eyes have seen. Our eyes have seen. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He said, now we saw him. We handled him. We looked upon him. We walked with him. We talked with him. He was teaching us to fellowship. That's what he was doing when he was here, teaching us to fellowship. Peter got jealous of John one time and said, what's this man going to do? Jesus said, you don't worry about John. What you need to do is you need to get fixed up right. And he said, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as the wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Strengthen his fellowship. Where two are together. You take Brother Jack, the pastor here, and this brother sitting here, if you all three together in fellowship, you're three times as strong as one. And see, the devil knows how to make a mess out of things and get people going the wrong direction and the wrong fellowship. Fellowship is not, oh, we might like good food like pies and cakes and all that, coffee and everything. Nothing wrong with it, but that is not the fellowship. The fellowship is God the Father, Jesus Christ, which joins them into him. Then we're one fellowship. Somebody said, well, how can that happen? Well, how can it happen? Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if the mind of Christ is in every one of us, we're in one accord, and are we ever in fellowship? They're climbing the walls. They're shouting. Getting saved. Filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember back in St. Louis when I first started preaching. I tell you what, God's Spirit was moving so mightily back in those days. I've been preaching 58 years. But in that first 2 or 3 years there, we had 633 people saved. And I was just a brand new convert. And I'm still yet a brand new convert. Huh? Somebody said, you're getting awful old, but I feel awful young. God is still able to do exceeding and abundantly above what we all ask or think. Now, thing that we're talking about is God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, or the Word, and that forms a fellowship. Two. But he's hunting more fellowship. So he calls and reaches out towards you and I to come into my fellowship. Now, he didn't say come into my rock dancing and rock music and all that. He said come into our fellowship. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. So here we find God, the Father, and the Word is a fellowship. How many believe Jesus fellowships with the Father? How many believes the Father fellowships back with Him? Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Father from heaven said, I can't help it, but you have to go through this. It's the fellowship of His suffering. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, said that I may be partakers of His fellowship in suffering. In suffering. How many is willing to suffer in fellowship with His suffering? No, we think everything is handed to us with red roses and everything, and that we don't have to do anything. He's done it all, and He's obligated to us to fellowship with us, but we're not obligated to fellowship with Him. But we have to come together in fellowship. So then when He adds, here's Jesus and the Father, now you're a fellowship within yourself. Huh? You're a spirit, you're a soul, and you're a body. And if your mind gets out of fellowship with your spirit, you're in trouble. And if you allow the flesh to break your fellowship between the spirit and God Himself, then you've got a trouble. It comes into what we call carnality. Carnality. And we're going to get in that just a minute, but let's go on down here just a little bit. So we bring our fellowship. Everybody knows that we got to have the mind of Christ. And my spirit is supposed to be able to fellowship with my soul. And my soul is supposed to be able to control my flesh so it don't get in the way of this fellowship. And when we do that, we bring this fellowship in, and now we've got God the Father, God the Word in that fellowship. Now we bring Brother Williams in. And then we bring this brother in the fellowship. Now, remember, it's not battleship, it's fellowship. We're talking about fellowship, not battleship. And we bring this brother in now, we're getting stronger. We bring that one in, we're getting stronger. And our fellowship is growing, and our church is growing. Our kids are getting saved. Our young folks are getting back to the old path. And the power of God is moving once again in the church. And it's all because we are learning how to fellowship with God and bring that fellowship out to a lost and dying world and to churches that are dying by the thousands across this nation. Fellowship. Fellowship. Now, let's go over to 1 Corinthians just a minute before we get any further here. And we find some carnality gets in. How many believes Paul was in fellowship with God? And Paul went down here in the second chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. He went down to Corinth to preach. I believe God sent him down there. I believe this man knew where to go and where God wanted him. And so here he is. He's down at Corinth. And if you didn't know, Corinth in that day was as bad as St. Louis, Chicago. It was the meanest place in the world. It was the cross where ships came in, and it was the crossing place of all drugs, alcohol. Oh, yeah, they had drugs in, opium. And they had all these things, and it was a wicked place. And Paul tells us here in the second chapter, said, my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but it was in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul said that. Now, Paul is there to establish a church, a fellowship. So, Paul said his speech and his preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Well, he gets some fellowship. A man called Apollos. And then the people begin to come and join into this. Pretty soon, Paul and Apollos has a group of people that's in a fellowship. How many knows where I'm at? I'm 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You need to be reading with me. And here we find here, they went through there, and he explains a little bit about the natural man in here, and I'll not get into that, but let's drop down to the third verse, and we see where carnality gets into the fellowship. Somebody said a little carnality won't hurt. No, if you're walking in the light as he is in the light, we need to knock all this carnality out in the head. Now listen what he says here. Now, here comes this Apostle Paul, the one that the master builder, and he's got people now that's following him, and so has Apollos. They're following along. Paul and Apollos, they've got a fellowship among themselves. But you watch people break that fellowship and then turn around and watch how Paul fixes that fellowship. Let's read it. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual. Now they got to carnality. How many preachers we got here tonight? How many thinks that all the churches and everybody's just doing real spiritually good now? I don't see one hand go up. Huh? Facts of the matter is, most of them is going the wrong direction. We got to turn them around. That's our job. Somebody said that's the pastor's job. No, you people are sitting around in the congregation and doing nothing. You ought to be winning some souls. You ought to be propagating this thing, and you need to get to doing something. He that heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I liken him to the wise man. We got to hear and we got to do. Now, Paul, here's what he said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you. So they had a division there. I'm skipping that. So they had a division, but let's see. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as to carnal. See, you have to preach carnal things to carnal people. And this New Age movement has found that out. Just feed them up on carnality, and you got them. You got them. Huh? They'll do what they want to do. See, that's not what God wants. Paul said, now you've got to a place here, I had you going real good, and here we are in a place now where I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. You know, the biggest part of people have been saved 40 years sitting in church, the more you have to feed them baby food. Or if they don't, they'll get mad. And really show you what fellowship is, but it's the wrong fellowship. It's not the right hand of fellowship, it's the wrong fellowship. People are fellowshipping wrong spirits. They're fellowshipping with wrong people. They're fellowshipping with people that needs to be saved. We need to win the lost by our fellowship with God to bring them in. Now, Paul said here, we got carnality in this. And here he says in verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereunto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. You still ain't able, he said. Somebody said, you're preaching right at me. I hope so. I hope so. I don't hurt people. I help them. Sometimes they get mad. But they get over it when they get into fellowship. They got strength again. They feel good again. They feel like shouting again. Tears are rolling down their face. They're running the aisle. Somebody said, is that still happening? It sure is. We've been preaching up in West Virginia and Pennsylvania and Ohio a whole lot. And those people are coming alive up there. I never would have thought we'd be preaching way out there. But we were preaching in California and Ohio, and we're preaching in Illinois and in Indiana. We're getting way out there, and we're bringing fellowships in. Just started a new fellowship in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania last week. It's hooked to our fellowship. See, your church is supposed to work the same way. Somebody said our church is almost empty. Well, fill it up. Fill it up. God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us, ain't he? Well, Paul said, I have to keep on preaching to you carnal things. I've fed you baby food. Now, in verse 3, he says, for ye are carnal, whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? He said, you're carnal yet. Now, where are we going to grow? We're going to grow in carnality, or are we going to grow in spirituality? Are we going to follow the New Age movement, Or are we going to follow God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son? Somebody said our preacher is a strict preacher. Good. Good. I believe in strict preachers. If the preacher ain't strict, the congregation's not going to be strict. Somebody said, what do you mean strict? Be what God has called you to do. Get full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Be an example to the flock, and the flock will turn around and bless you. Come on, can you say amen? God is dealing with a church once again in this fellowship realm like I haven't seen in the last, 40 years. Now listen, people will divide the church. The very people in the church or the fellowship will divide that church and fellowship. The next verse shows us that. I've got you reading because I want you to read it. I didn't make this up. It's been preached for 2,000 years. Listen to what he says. For ye are yet carnal, for where is there among you envy and strife and division? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now listen what divides them. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now, what was it divided them? One said, I like Paul better than I do Apollos. And the other said, well, I like Apollos better than Paul. See, probably right here in this church, we got all kinds of people that I like this preacher, but don't like that so good. Well, you don't have to like them. Just don't say anything about them, and that doesn't hurt anything. But when you compare one against another, you start something that's wrong. And a pastor of a church ought to know what kind of a revival he needs. There's a lot of good preachers out there, but they're just not ready for the revival that you need. So you have to know what you're doing to get the right one in at the right time, or if you get the wrong one in at the wrong time, you're going to have carnality rise up in the church and say, I like somebody else better than him. You're going to hurt the evangelist. You know, that's time to keep your mouth shut, ain't it? If you like one better than the other, just go ahead and like them. But don't tell nobody. That gets a lot of preachers in trouble, too. And I've had that thing tried to pull on me. Everybody brag on me. Oh, you've done a wonderful job. Your ministry is better than so-and-so. That doesn't impress me a bit. What impresses me is to see people get out of the carnal nature and begin to root and ground in the things of God and begin to establish something in the fellowship of God with God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son. Paul said, we got division here. We got carnality here. You say that you're of Paul. Another says you're of Apollos. Paul said, I know how I'll do. I'll solve it. Verse 5. How many still got the Bible open? You probably want me to throw this in the way. This is a King James Version, and that's all I've ever used. And that's all I ever will use. The others, you're going to find them in default here and there. Words are changed to fit man instead of God. So that causes trouble. That breaks up the fellowship of the church. I go into churches anymore, and this one's got one Bible, and this one over here's got another Bible, and that one over there's got another Bible. And when they begin to compare my message anymore, when they come together after the service of the message, they say, well, I don't understand. My Bible reads different than that. Well, the problem is, it's not God, it's not the preacher, it's the Bible they're using. Huh? The Bible is the word of truth. And you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now let's go a little further with this. Now watch the master builder get this thing straightened out and how he does it. Now we know there's carnality in the crowd, and we know some's cheering Apollos, and then we know others are cheering Paul. And here, what does Paul say? Verse 5, who is Paul? Strange thing he'd say that. Who is Paul? And the next part of it said, and who is Apollos? Who are these guys? Paul said, I choose to ignore us. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. These men, he says, In other words, me and Apollos, we're ministers to the people. We're not wanting one thinking better of this and that. We don't want partiality. We don't want carnality. Come on. We don't want carnality. And carnality, Paul's saying in a roundabout way, carnality has messed things up. It's got the fellowship broke up. They're trying to get Paul and Apollos fighting. They're already themselves pushing and shoving. Let's get that into come and preach. Or let's say, I like this and preach it better. Well, if that and comes to preach, I'm not coming. Did you ever hear that? Oh, yeah, I know you didn't. I've been all good Pentecostal people. We've never heard nothing like that in our church. We know better than that. It's happening every day in your church. It's happening in our association. No matter how hard I hammer at it, after a while, here it comes again. Well, I deal with it again. I deal with it again. I deal with it again. And I think maybe I'll get some rest. You know, they're wearing the preachers out. And some of the preachers are wearing the people out. With this carnality and all the junk that they're preaching, they're wearing the people out. And the people are wearing the preachers out. But a good shot of fellowship would bring everything together. And the power would come back in the church. And the glory of God would come down. And the power of God would come down. And we'd have revival like you've never seen before. Just one verse in the Bible would fix this whole nation. Huh? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people that are called by my name, them that's in the fellowship, that call my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and will heal their land. How many would like to see that? Oh, I tell you, our land needs healed. It could start with you. It could start with me. It could start with us getting our act together and not getting involved in carnality. Don't get involved in stuff like that. Well, go a little further. Paul said that we're just ministers. One plants and the other waters. Now we come up here to verse 6. Paul tells us who they are. He said, I have planted. Now get this, Paul said, I'm the planter. I'm going to straighten out your problem. I'm the planter. Didn't God send him there to be the planter? He stood up there before him shaking. Them mean men out there of Corinth. But yet he said it was demonstration of the power and the Spirit. Huh? He said, it's the fellowship. It's the thing that God wants. I have planted. He said, I've done my job. I planted. Apollos watered. Now, Paul designates who's who to them. Paul's the planter. Apollos is the water. But nobody, I don't want to be a water boy. I'd rather be a glorious water boy than be down in the dumps all the time like people are today. I'd rather be a water boy. How many'd rather be a water boy? It don't hurt us to carry a little water. Put some water on the fire and give some to drink. If we give a person a drink, you'll have the same reward that of a prophet that's asking the drink. You give him a drink, you get the same reward as the prophet. Isn't that wonderful? Because of his fellowship. So Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The increase came from the fellowship. The fellowship of who? Paul and Apollos, when they was doing their job. That's where the increase come from. Huh? Somebody said, well, we're happy with us, me and you and us four. I could never be happy in a church that just had four people. Yet I know some that used to have run 400 is now running 4 to 8. There's something wrong in that kind of a church. And some of them people comes over to our meetings once in a while, and my, how God does bless them. They get a touch, they get all fired up again, and they go back and get back right down in the drags again. I believe the churches needs to get tired of being in the dregs and get up and begin to worship and praise God and let God have His way in our hearts and lives and let the glory of God come down and let's quit identifying. Paul identified who he was. He said, I'm the planter. If you're worried about something, Paul is the water. If you're worried about what Paul says, he's the water. And then he said in verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. What we need to be looking at is the increase. We don't need to be looking at who's doing, who's the best job, and what they're doing, who's the planter and who's the water boy, and who's the this and who's the that, and something else, and I wish I had this and I wish I had that. I'll tell you what, we need to do some planting ourselves, and we need to do some watering ourselves. So there's enough people here tonight, somewhere or other, somebody drops the seed, the plant, in your heart. Somebody watered it. I remember when I first got saved. I'll tell you what, I didn't ever hear from some of the churches around there. I lived right in churches down the block here and there. And I never did hear about them until they found out I got saved. And here they come, knocking on my door. And they got in there, you know, a couple of sessions with me. And I've always been pretty strict about reading the Bible. I've been reading the Bible a little bit, and I got gloriously saved. The Spirit of God just moved, and people were getting saved. I just couldn't stand. We had a prayer meeting in the house, and more got saved. But these people that came wasn't the church members, the fellowship I'm talking about. They were people with wrong doctrine. Oh, don't you go down there to that Pentecostal church. Let me show you what the Bible says. Huh? Let me sow some discord among the brethren. He that soweth discord among the brethren, they can't walk in the truth. It's a thing. So here they would come. There's things that God wants us to do. He wants us to walk in the truth. He wants us to fellowship. But let's go back to 1 John again here just a minute. And let's read in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you that your fellowship is with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. Now John spoke for the other apostles there, said, that which we have heard, that which we have felt, that we've seen, we've looked upon Him, and He is the fellowship. God is the fellowship, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. That's a good fellowship, ain't it? Did you ever stop and read a few things on this? No man could come to God except what? The Spirit drawing. So how many remembers when the Spirit began to draw you? Boy, everything was going wrong, wasn't it? Oh, you was having the time. The Spirit was drawing. And then that Spirit done what it done to Nicodemus. Nicodemus seen the works of Jesus. And in John chapter 2, he comes to Jesus by night and said, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. You know what Jesus told Nicodemus? Well, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus come into a born again experience. I'm persuaded. Are you? So, now we have to go a little deeper. See, God wants us to get deeper in this thing, not more shallow. So then we get into what John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3, along about verse 11. He said, there's one that's coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with what? With the Holy Ghost. It didn't stop there. And fire. The fellowship is the Holy Ghost and fire. John said he's coming. That's what he's going to do. Now we've got the pulling, the drawing. Then we've got the born again experience. A lot of people's got that and they're satisfied and they ain't going to go no further either. Born again. And when they're born again, then John the Baptist said, there's one that's coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose. He shall baptize you. Now, this is the baptism part. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's what the church needs now, good baptizing in the Holy Ghost and fire. Then we have the filling of the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them up. So there's the filling of the Holy Ghost. It causes you to speak in tongues. Somebody said, don't believe in them their tongues. Show me where it's at. It's in there. They all spake with other tongues. They all spake with other tongues. A fellowship. Peter and John had a fellowship when they went by the gate there. A lame man sitting there. And Peter said, look on us. I want you to look at us. We're the fellowshippers. We've been with Jesus. And he took him out of the hand and said, arise and walk. And the man began to leap, and he went to church with him. 5,000 people were added to the fellowship that day. Can you say amen? That's what fellowship will do. Peter and John had been with Jesus. And they said they took notice of them that they had been with Jesus. Acts 2:42 said, they all continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Don't get into a wrong doctrine. The apostles' doctrine and fellowship. It's all in that fellowship and fellowship. Breaking bread from house to house, and God added to the church daily such as should be saved. Every church that's sitting empty ought to be filled. If you've got some vacant seats in your church, we need to fill them up. But there's so many things, doctrines and things like that, that'll destroy us. Carnality. Carnal. Are you not carnal? Do you not walk as men? Carnal. Carnal, carnality. So we build our worship system on this here fellowship that we're talking about. What Jesus was really doing is teaching his disciples to fellowship one with another, to care for one another, to help one another, to create a fellowship among them. You know, in the day we live in right now, we might lose our head for being a Christian. They're doing it overseas. What's going to make us exempt? What if they said, you're going to be Mohammed or you're going to be headless? Somebody said, that won't happen in our country. Don't you think it won't? They've thought it wouldn't be the people going around shooting each other either. And it ain't the gun, I'll tell you that. It's that person that's behind the gun. It's not the gun, it's the person behind the gun. All of my people have had guns, lots of guns. And we got a squirrel gun, we got a shotgun, a rabbit gun, we got a quail gun, we got a deer gun, and we got this kind of gun, that kind of a gun, and not every one of our family, for as far back as I remember, my great-grandpa, my grandpa, my dad, and me, and all the family that I know of, have never shot anybody yet. But you got to get rid of the gun. Well, if that be the case, you got to get rid of your car. Because there's two instances last week where they run through a crowd of people and killed 30 in one with a car. So that old car is a deadly weapon. You got to get rid of your car. And I'll tell you what, if those people that's being guarded up there in the White House and in Washington, D.C., they're being guarded, you know, to keep them from getting killed. Why don't they throw away their guns? We got to get on the truth, church. And we're going to have to talk to people. We're going to have to pray. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Word. Where fellowship begins, it begins with God and the Father and the Son. That's where it begins. Then it brings you in. It draws you. It gets you born again. It gets you filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. It gets you filled with the Holy Ghost. And step by step, you're going to march right into a greater fellowship. I've been preaching 58 years, and I had tapes and tapes and tapes, and I've got 1,500 of my tapes. And I just throw them back year to year. Brother Williams knows this. Throw the tapes back, you know, while I preach then, while I preach then, and something else, and all that. And I've got 1,500 of them over, of those tapes. Just for no reason at all, just throw them back. And now, people are scrimmaging to try to get a hold of those tapes, because the very things I preached is what they need now. 50-some years ago. I haven't changed. And I will not change. I refuse to let the Lord down. Everyone in this building should take note to get in the fellowship with God, get in the fellowship with one another. It won't hurt if you've done something wrong. It won't hurt to say, I'm sorry. It won't hurt. It'll make you feel good. Amen. When you get in this fellowship, you feel so safe. You feel so at ease. Amen. Fellowship weeds out corruption. Let me tell you where that's at. 1 John again, chapter 2. Let's go back there and watch it weed out corruption. And he says here in verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Verse 18, little children, now John is speaking to the children of God. Little children, it is the last time, it's the last days now. And as ye have heard that Antichrist should come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, we're at that point, really, right now. So many Antichrists. Huh? These other religions are Antichrist. Antichrist. Now, what will they do in your church? Listen to it. Verse 19. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. But they went out from us, that it may be known that they are not of us. Lots of people have separated from you Pentecostals and churches because they just didn't want to be recognized with us. That's part of it. Listen to what it says. They went out from us. They were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. Now, I'll put you've got some churches here tonight, and if somebody gets all huffed up and leaves your church, they're going down through town, and everybody said, I ain't never going back to that church. I ain't part of them. You know they're going to say they ain't of us. They went out from us. Didn't get into fellowship. Instead of praying through, instead of doing what God wants, they went out from us. Somebody said, has anyone out? Lots of them. But God always brings some in. He brings the spiritual one in and weeds out the carnal. Gets rid of the cuckleburs. Gets rid of the thorns. Puts the church back in fellowship. See, there's always somebody just ready to jab somebody with an old thorn. A thorn, you know, is poison. They hurt. A lot of people like to see people hurt. If anything I don't like to see is people hurt. I don't even like to see a sinner hurt. But he needs to get into fellowship. And we all need to get into fellowship. Not my fellowship. We've got a fellowship of lots of people in it now. Across the nation. Different states. Setting them up fellowships. That's what God spoke to me in the last time. Last days. To set up fellowships. To have fellowship revival. Fellowship meetings. Fellowship in the home. Now, if you ain't got no fellowship at home, you forget it at church till you get to home straight back. Fellowship. Fellowship. And it can be done so easy just by yielding a little bit to God. I believe that God is getting ready to do something great. And I believe that people's going to start changing. They're going to get their eyes open. Our eyes should not be blinded. Our eyes should be open. Praise the Lord. I hope I didn't hurt anybody, but all you got to do is get a hold of the Father and the Word, and He'll kind of wash off the wound. He's a master at that. Now, Paul said, by the grace of God was given to me as a master builder. Not me, he said, the grace of God done that. And I got thinking, there's another fellow he done that with. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was definitely in God's fellowship. Nobody else could hear anything except Noah. Noah, he found what? Grace in the sight of God. Paul found grace in the sight of God. Peter found grace in the sight of God. Grace. Oh, for the spirit of grace. The spirit of truth. Amen. There's somebody here tonight. Maybe you've drifted from the fellowship. I'm not talking about any church. I'm talking about the fellowship of God. Because that's where it comes from, if it's the right kind of fellowship. Anyway, that's the only place it comes from is God. That's what Paul was saying. It's God that gives the increase. It wasn't me. It wasn't Apollos. It wasn't me. It was God that gave the increase. I done the planting, and Apollos done the watering. God gave the increase. See, in other words, give thanks to God for the increase. I could go on and on of things that's in the church that really needs to be took care of by the person that is not in the fellowship. That's what needs to happen. As they sang a song, would you stand to your feet? Thank you for being so attentive to the Word of God. I want to tell you tonight, I've preached here before you, and I want you to pray for my grandson. This morning we got word that he was in an automobile wreck close to Springfield, Missouri, and that there was three in the car, and the driver who was driving it hit a tree, and he was killed instantly. And my grandson was hurt bad, they said, in the wreck, and there's another one, I don't know how he is. But then later on in the day, we heard that they flew him from Springfield to St. Louis, to Barnes Hospital. Then we begin to find out how bad it was. He survived it so far, but he had both legs broke, cuts all over his face, three ribs broke, and on the aorta, they had to mend it. And he's laying there right now in bad shape. We're going to go in the morning to pray with him and the family. Pray that we can get the family in the fellowship. In the fellowship. Whatever goes, the family has to get in the fellowship. It's a critical situation, but God can take these kind of things around, and still God can heal, and God can save every member in that family. There's several of them that's not saved. Well, I want you to pray with me. I stood before you tonight and delivered what I had in my heart. It was kind of hard to do because I just couldn't feel the anointing as I'd like to feel it because my mind, my spirit was with that situation. If you'll do that, join us in that one fellowship to see that boy get healed. If God would heal him, I'll tell you, the whole country in that area would get saved and healed. As they sing a song, if you have drifted a little ways, or if you are not where you need to be with God, I believe it'd be very profitable to you and God's kingdom. It'd be profitable to the church you attend. If you came to this altar and joined the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost for fellowship, you have to join that yourself. You have to do it. I can't do it for you. Your mom and dad can't do it for you. Your brothers and sisters can't do it for you. It's you and God. As they sang a song, is there one here somewhat out of God's fellowship? Would you come?